Buckle up, because the SEO game is about to be flipped on its head. In this groundbreaking live stream, you'll discover how AI is revolutionizing the world of search engine optimization from renowned marketing expert Michael Brzezinski. With nearly two decades of experience at the forefront of digital marketing, Michael has cracked the code on leveraging AI to skyrocket your website's rankings and drive a tidal wave of targeted traffic your way. Forget outdated SEO tactics. This is a masterclass in future-proofing your online presence. With that, welcome to the episode.
Thank you for having me, Michael. We have two Michaels here, the Michael Show.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And we've got a B at the end of both of our names. So that
there you go. We got two MBs here. That's funny.
super intriguing. And you have my haircut as well. So. So I was hoping you could give our listeners a little bit of background on what brought you to where you are today with Buzzworthy Marketing and what you and your team are doing over there.
So it's been a long journey. I got out of the Air Force in 2005, and I found myself unhireable. So I had a background in music. Thought I was going to be a rock star at one point. And so I started my business actually as a recording studio. But surviving off of starving musicians was a bad business idea. And so I fell back on what I was doing before I went into service, which was marketing. And we immediately went into media production for small businesses because I had a nick, and I don't know what it is. I have this affinity for small business. I think it's the underdog, right? I'm a Bengals fan. I'm an A's fan. I'm a San Jose Sharks fan. I'm a sucker for the underdog, right? And SMBs, I'd run up a couple of corporate ladders in my really young before in my teens and early 20s. And I just didn't have the taste to be in that rat race again. Sure. And so I buckled down and started helping the small businesses that needed that production to look as good as the big dogs. And eventually that turned into a creative agency. And that blew up into a multi-million dollar creative agency in Anchorage, Alaska. And about 2018, I got tired of it. It was another rat race, right? And sure. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to close this down. I'm going to reinvent how I do business. So that's where Buzzworthy Marketing came in as a 100% virtual company with a 100% a remote team. And for the last 5 years, we've just been kicking ass and taking names.
That's great. It sounds like you've built the quality of life for everybody, you and everyone on your team.
100%. Yeah. And we did it, you know, that's 2019 when I started it. So I was extremely lucky because, you know, had I just kept plogging along and kept lying to myself, I would have paid the price, right? With the brick and a 13,000 square foot brick and mortar creative agency with 22 employees, you know, that COVID would have crushed me.
Yeah.
So no, it sounds I always say it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah. Sounds like you made the right call there. Well, clearly, one of the things that's kind of turning SEO upside down and on its head is AI. So
yes.
I know that you have your solution. Is it Dizio? Is that what
Dizio,
you're calling
yes.
Dizio SEO?
And, Dizio SEO, yes.
I was hoping you could share with us what you see on the horizon there, what's going on, and how to take advantage and or protect thyself from AI.
I love both of those, the sides of that coin there. So the first thing that I tell everybody when we talk about SEO, the first thing that everybody started talking about is like, this is the death of the SEO. This is the death of search engines and all this other stuff. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, we thought a lot of things were going to kill the marketer. Right. The marketer's not going anywhere. The marketer has, unless they don't evolve. Right. And so sure. One of the things that I tell people all the time is that AI is a tool. It doesn't replace anybody 100%. And it really is just a leverage of time. Right. And so if you're trying to use SEO to replace an expert, you are doing yourself a disjustice because AI, if you use AI as advertised, like some of these people are like, oh, just put in two or three lines of stuff and it'll write everything for you. It's like, yeah. And if tens of thousands of people are doing that same thing, guess what? It's all sounding about the same because AI is drawing from the same pool of information, the internet.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. There's one safeguard to that, and that's what's inside your skull. Your own personality and your own life experience and your knowledge and your expertise, that is unique, and AI cannot replace that. So we've had Disio for 4 years now. No, 3 years. 3 years. We're coming up on 3 years now. And when we first started, AI wasn't accessible yet, right? So a lot of this stuff was very manual. And so what we're using AI is to help people ideate, right? So one of the first tools we put in was our blog outline done by AI. Another tool was helping people write the meta descriptions and all the back end description things that actually is fine for AI to help you write. Like you can get 90% of what you need, tweak it just a little bit and put it out there, right? Most recently, we have it writing short blogs for small businesses. Now, these are local businesses doing monetized types of services like plumbers and roofers and stuff like that, where there's not much else you can say, right? But at a local level, you can use AI to say about 80% of what you need it to do. And then we instruct our users, sprinkle your personality on top of that. So just in that one platform of ours for SEO, so this is Disio, for people who don't know, is a DIY SEO platform. So you don't have to know SEO to do SEO, right? And it's got all the get to go stuff for it. And so our biggest feedback was like, yeah, this is awesome platform, but I don't know what to write about. Right. And we would give them curation machines and help a reporter out options and all these other things. But it's still a blank sheet of paper is your biggest nemesis when it comes to writing content for even the most prolific writers. Right. And so now we're able to give them like that first 300-400 words that they can then make their own. That's huge. And that's exactly how you should be using AI as an augmentation, what we call human optimized AI content.
Got it. So I think one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing, especially this year, is, you know, search engines like Google are saying, hey, wait a second, these first results, we've seen that several hundred times and they all look the same. What do we rank? You know, and I think, you know, it's challenging when, you know, everyone's looking at the top results, trying to rewrite them and throw theirs into the mix for, you know, Google to even index that the quantity of content that's coming out of AI over this year. And I think at a level, I think it's so important to add unique perspectives and fresh content to the mix, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to rank.
It's about usability, right? Like Google has said this for two decades, more than two decades. It's usability. And Google has a responsibility to its users to be a productive tool in finding things people are searching for.
Exactly.
If you don't create content that people want to consume, then they're not going to rank it. Because when they put their users on bad information, that reflects badly on Google, not you.
Yeah, and they're trying to provide the best result for any search that, you know, delivers on the intent of that search. I mean, that is the bottom line.
And I think that speaks to, you know, what we were saying earlier, when it's like, hey, SEO is about usability, is user usability. It's like you being able to be visible to people looking for your services when they need it, not knowing who you are, right? And non-branded searches is where small businesses can get huge legs up, huge, right? And unfortunately, most can't afford an SEO, you know, firm or a marketing firm to do SEO for them. And that's why we created Disio, is because like, hey, listen, we can stopgap this. We can get you at least get you somewhere in the local realm. And then as you grow, then yeah, you'll start delegating the bigger and bigger, bigger stuff for it. But it's, we got to democratize the search engine for local businesses, right? And the way we can do that is not by copying what the big dogs are doing, because the big dogs are doing something different than the local guy. The local guy is unique. They have personality. They're personable. You can go and shake hands with them. Even and they're even more approachable, even if they're somebody like me who works remotely as a virtual company, because you can actually get one of us on the phone on a video call or something like that. Where if you're trying to work with a big firm out there, they'll be like, no, you're not getting that unless you're spending a lot of money.
Right. So what would be a good example of a local merchant that could use SEO in this way and be able to grab some of those types of searches you're talking about there?
So when it comes to like, so real quick lesson, I guess, or just a preamble to what I'm about to say. So you have like the three sections, the main sections of the search engine results page. So at the top, you have your ads, and then you have your maps, and then you have what I call the SERP, the true SERP, right? The actual results, right?
So, which keeps going lower and lower down the
page. And now it keeps going forever now, right? And they sprinkle more ads and all this other stuff, right? So that's ever evolving. But one of the things that doesn't change is that there's ads at the top, there is local search, and then there is your search results, right? And so when we're talking about the local ads, that right there is very straightforward. Get into your Google Business Profile and go. Like, we have a specific module in Dizio that just does Google Business Profile optimization, right? And that comes down to garnering and maintaining and responding to reviews, and then being active on your Google posts and being able to and that one of the things we do is actually allow users to schedule their posts out, because in Google you do a Google post, it's only around for 7 days, right? And then it's gone, so you got to schedule another one. But you don't want to be beholden to always having to be there, right? So automating that is really good. So anybody who has a brick and mortar or a localized business wants to maximize their visibility there. Okay. And Dizio does a great job of that. The second part is the results section. So that 1 through 10 is really what a lot of people are looking for. I tell people your money is in the top three. So about 60 some odd percent of all click-through traffic on the results list come from the top three. 2%, less than 2%, go to the second page and beyond.
Right.
All together. Right. So when we're talking about the best businesses for that, I always look at service-based businesses. So these are folks who are not necessarily selling retail or e-commerce. These are people who are providing services to other people. So people serving people. And if you're one of those,
so a lot of people are looking to get into the top results would be the key there. Hey there.
Hey, I don't know what's okay. Going on.
No, I think we may have dropped for a moment there. But so yeah. People are really looking to get into those top results or
yeah, those key. Top. Yep, those top three results are the most important. And for the service-based businesses, those people serving people, they're the ones that are going to get the most out of it. Because a lot of times, those are the companies and the small businesses that actually have reoccurring revenue built into their services. Tax accountants,
makes sense.
Consultants, so coaches, those types of things. Anytime you're looking at engaging people in the long term, your lifetime value just shoots through the roof. That means that it's worth doing the effort to get visible there.
Got it. So a lot of times, you know, a lot of these professionals, like you mentioned, coaches, you know, lawyers, accountants, the like, or home service professionals, I would think.
Home service professionals are great for the big stuff, right?
Right.
For the little stuff, your, you know, for your emergency and your repairs and stuff like that, maps are actually probably a better use of time. But if you want to replace an entire roof, yeah, you, they're going to do research. So anytime you, you have a client that your potential prospects are doing research before they make a purchase, you better be there on the search engine.
Makes a lot of sense. And so what does the strategy look like? So obviously optimizing all of those different areas, but you know, maybe you could walk us through like a day in sure. the life of one of these professionals and you know, how they would look before coming to your team and after.
Right. So, you know, SEO doesn't change based on the size of company or who you're competing with, right? And so one of the biggest things that we try to help people understand is that not all ranking is profitable ranking. So we really need to start the journey with choosing the right keywords, what we call profitable keywords. Because if you rank number one for something nobody's searching for, you're not getting any traffic. This is a traffic play, right?
Right.
You're getting visibility to get traffic for what you do, right? So I have a dentist who is getting a lot of traffic on what to do when your tongue is white. Do you think he's getting traffic from all over the United States from that? He's got three practices in Northern Virginia. Like, he's not getting all of that. He's not converting.
It's not going to help him. Yeah.
Right. It's not helping his business. Right. So when you're approaching that, and people are like, oh yeah, I can get you 100, you know, ranked in 100 keywords. There's probably crap keywords to begin with, especially if right. it's too good to be true. SEO is not cheap. Period. End of story. Either you have the time or the money.
Yeah, right? It's a long-term play. You
know? And so, it's a long-term play on top of that. So either you're going to put the time in and get it. But the great thing about it is that it over time, it has a hockey stick effect. It gets an exponential return on investment. And that's right. why when people can do it, they do it, because they see the fact that, like, yeah, maybe not this year, but this time next year, we're going to be seeing a lot. So they're basically future-proofing their business, because they know that their service, the demand for their service isn't going anywhere, right? It's the competition for their service is going to be going up and up and up, because we're trending as a nation of entrepreneurs. So if you're a business owner, it's not getting easier. It's getting harder.
Right.
So with that said, the next piece is then to find your story and your authority and start talking about what the profitable keywords are looking for. Remember, when somebody searches for a keyword phrase, they're looking for an answer to something. And sometimes it's a research answer. Sometimes it's a commercial answer. Okay. So if they're looking for just information, I'm curious, why is the sky blue? That doesn't mean they're out to buy the sky. They're just wanting to know some information.
So really right? looking at the intent of the search, if it's a commercial intent
right? Or, there's four types of intent. We have informational, navigational, commercial, and transactional. And if you think of a sales funnel, informational is at the top and transactional is on the bottom, right? So now what we're doing is we're taking a look at that keyword, and we're going to understand that, hey, this is a profitable keyword because it has search volume. People are searching for it. The longer the phrase, the further down or the higher the commercial and transactional intent it is. That's been proven fact. So if it's four keywords or longer, usually they're looking, and it's related to a service, they're just looking for somebody to do it for them.
Right.
If it's shorter, they don't know what they're looking for. They're still in research mode. Okay. So as a small business, I look at staying in that middle to low funnel, because if you're at the top of that, and that puts you right in the mix right away, because you're one of the first people they're clicking on. So if your content's good and you can keep them there, they're not having to search for more information. Guess what? You win, right? So they're not the 10,000 search volumes. You don't need that much search volume, right? You're looking for 20 to 40 calls sometimes, as little as 10 calls a month.
Right.
Right. So why are you trying to put all your eggs in one search basket that has all this competition, when you can go over to some of these other keywords that only have a few thousand, you know, a few hundred to a few thousand keywords? And if you can dominate there and you're in the top, you got a 33% chance of being the first person that they get to talk to. I like being the first person because right. if I can keep their attention and I give them a reason to call me now, I win. And it didn't take me as much effort as the folks who were trying to compete with the big guys, right? So now yeah. I got to write content that engages that question, that commercial question that is the search phrase, right? Because that's all a search phrase is, a question, right? Who are the best tax lawyers near me?
That's a pretty transactional if I ever yeah. heard one, right? Yep, they're yep. looking for a tax attorney. Done.
Yep. Right? There you go.
Where's my financial advisors? Where's my ... right? Like, those are very specific, right? And they're local. They're looking for somebody local. They're not looking for the best in the United States. They're looking for somebody that's, you know, in Connecticut. All right.
Well, yeah. Who's the Connecticut's best? For a lot of years, right? You know, SEOs have been, you know, putting up these sites to grab that traffic, and they try to resell it to that local professional. Is Google oh, yeah. catching on to that, or what do you say?
They're making it harder and harder to do, but it's not going anywhere. And the where it's most prevalent is in those high traffic national, the where the national competition is sitting, right? So roofers, notorious, right? Siding, any of the home, big home services purchases, high ticket, right? Because if the the service provider is making a lot of money per transaction, they're willing to spend a lot of money per transaction. Yep. So I always say buyer beware. If you're a roofer and somebody's coming and saying, hey, I got roofing jobs that I'm going to sell you, right? One, how much is it? Is it higher than your cost per acquisition that you want, that you already have established for yourself, right? So if somebody comes to me and said, yep. hey, I'm a lead generation company and I'm willing to give you, sell you my leads, I'm going to say, okay, well, a lead to me is worth this. Getting somebody on the phone is worth this. Getting a sale is worth this, right? So it's like there's higher ups, right? And if they're within that, we're going to talk. The second question I'm going to ask is, am I the only one you're selling it to? Can I get a guarantee? Right? And if they can't guarantee me that, I'm not having a conversation, because why am I going to pay for a lead that I know three other people are going to get as well? So they're going to sell it. They're going to sell it. I've met some lead generation companies that sell it for as many 20 people.
Wow.
I did research on doing solar panels when I was in Illinois. I have since moved from Illinois. That was 2.5 years ago. I have since moved from Illinois, and I still get calls from that one form. That's how off. That's how long they'll sell that data. Okay, so be careful there. Right, the best thing to do, and I'm not saying don't do it. Just buyer beware and start competing against those people for your local business, because right. you can outdo them. All of us can. It's just putting in the effort. And that's where we get lost, because it's such a long game in our minds, right? Nobody's thinking a year and a half from now in their business, right? Especially if you're a small single owner, right? You might have one or two guys, you know, you might have one truck, maybe yeah, you have an
office. Your focus is on running your business, not doing SEO. And at the end of the day, it's an investment that you need to make. But, you know, it may not be something you want to do internally.
Right. And when you, and the thing is this, the sooner you start doing something, the better. So I tell people all the time, it's like going into Dizio, it's not that you're going to all of a sudden take over Google with all the keywords you want, but at least you're moving in the right direction and you will start seeing those results to the point where it's like, wow, I can use the extra money I'm making from those results to have somebody come in and do it even better for me so that right. I have more bandwidth to take on more shops, right? So it's that self-perpetuating investment that we're looking at when we look at SEO.
And what type of time frame is a reasonable expectation for, you know, from launching an SEO campaign until you're starting to see some of the results of a campaign? Because it's very front-loaded, obviously spending either a lot of money or a lot of time at the beginning.
Right. And for a lot of money, a lot of time for some time, right?
Yeah.
It's none of it's fast, right? Like, you'll hear people say, well, we got results in 3 months. Yes, you probably got the first wave of results, but right. SEO is a competition. So even if you were able to come in and basically put secret sauce on a set of keywords that your competitors were ignoring, guess what? They're going to recognize it, right? And that competition going here. And so just because you've got their fat, I always say the faster you get up to the top, the faster you can come down.
Right.
Just remember that, right? So the harder it, the longer it takes to get to the top, the longer it takes is going to be toppled. So if you ever watch like goats do the king of the mountain type of thing.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
That's what SEO is about. You're always going to, so once you get to the top, it's really easy to stay there, but it's a jostling of those top three, right? And so what I say for small businesses that are looking for low competition, medium traffic, you're still looking at 6 to 8 months. You could hit a couple hyper local. And if you had good, a high level of reviews coming in every week, and you are able to get people to point other people to point at your website, so you build domain authority. Yeah, in the first 6 months, you could see stuff. But usually we tell our clients, even for the done for you stuff that we do for our clients, man, it's going to be like 8 to 12 months before we're really seeing the monetization of this. Like truly, like not that they won't get clients, but one or two clients is not what we're doing this for. We're right. Looking for that steady flow of traffic, right? We're looking for the inquiries that are coming in every week, not just a couple times a month.
Right.
So when that is there, and the crazy thing is this, it's kind of like podcasting. We were talking about podcasting for the show. You know, it's like, it just takes a long time. But once you get there, you know, I remember my first year, it was like, I could get like 100, 200, you know, downloads a month or something like that. Yeah. It was like for the first quarter, first 6 months. But then at one point it just shot up and now we get 2,500 downloads, right? SEO is exactly the same. It's that motion, the perpetual motion, right? And you're continuing to add to that momentum, pushing it up the hill, right? But once you get up there, you're still on a hill. There's no plateau. It's a point.
Yeah. And so from what I'm hearing from you, so it sounds like for a local business, they have to have A, their landing page and their site optimized. Mm-hmm. They have to be optimized for their local search results, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Maps or Google mm-hmm. My Business or, you know, the Google reviews, all of that has to be in place. They have to have the correct inbound links mm-hmm. from local, you know,
or national, any you know, reputable local
or national. Okay. So reputable yeah. links
any reputable
that are relevant
website. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Relevant website. And then finally they have to have the right content on their website. It sounds like that's really important to, mm-hmm. to drive, you know, and any of those pieces being off can really throw things out of kilter. It sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like an unbalanced wheel. The faster it goes, the more it wobbles. Right. So the one thing that I always tell people, well, what we're finding out right now, I should say, is that Google is actually putting an emphasis. They just recently did a big update. And it was like the biggest update since like 2016. Like this, I mean, they've been doing iterations. Sure. This one was like the big one, right? And one of the things that they're putting emphasis on is your services page.
Yeah.
So right now the a lot of strategies are, well, you just build the blog out or you get an article page and you just do that and then you push them into your website. Well, Google's like, no, people are looking for the service. They're looking for services. So if they're at a commercial or a transactional state, they don't want to read an article on something, right? They want to land at the top and say, here's information if you want it, or you can call us right now.
Right.
Where you can form out this fill.
So they want to understand that it's a real business with real services, phone number, contact information.
They want
social
all that
media that fits in with the website,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yeah, but they're looking for it inside of your website, not just a blog that happens to have a phone number on it.
Sure.
Right. Because they're finding that when you're in that commercial, this is not for the informational folks. Informational folks, they'll read articles. They're doing research. They're in the research mode. But if you're in a commercial or transactional state, that means you're in a buying mode. You
right.
could
so
buy.
You need to be able to find
moment.
A contact us page. You need to be able to find a what are our services right. page. Mm-hmm. All of these, you know,
schedule key. An appointment. Yep. Click here to learn more. All of those call to actions, but inside of the website's infrastructure is what they're actually looking for. So what we're doing for our clients and we're suggesting to our users is that, hey, now go back to your website. What's your best blog? You know, what are your best keywords, your highest conversion rate keywords, right? And now we need to incorporate that into your actual website infrastructure, not sitting out on a blog page, not sitting out over here as an article or a backlink or anything like that.
Right.
Inside your services section, that's where it needs to be. We do this and dot, dot, dot. And this is now optimized for the what we do. What's the biggest term people use to find you locally? That's it. So if you are, I live in right outside of Richmond, Virginia. So if I'm a plumber and I'm talking about repairing, and I'm really good at scaling pipes, right? Which is like the big overall. That's a couple thousand bucks for a plumber, right?
Yeah.
So I would have an entire page talking about my scaling and my process and my guarantees and whatever I have to say about scaling as one of my service pages inside my website. And I would not have a blog about when or where. That would all be on that page.
Yeah. Now, how do you work to create content hand in hand with a client that's authentic and unique? Because I'm sure a lot of times clients don't want to be involved in the process or you know, they say, just do it for me. How do you overcome that?
AI, baby. This is the awesome part about AI. So what AI can do is we can actually model a person's style of speaking. They don't even have to be a good writer. We can just have a conversation, 30-minute conversation with them, and have them talking about what they're passionate about. And we can plug that into one of our AI modelers. And then we start working on ideation of like what we want to do. And then we ask the machine to actually write what we have created in their voice.
Oh, okay.
This is where AI gets really cool. So it's not that AI just did it for us. It's that we got it to a point where it's like, now we know what we want to say. Now rewrite it in their voice.
Okay.
And now, boom, there it is. We can even then take that, and we have AI engines that will we probably need about 15, 20 minutes of them in the video. So literally just what we did, we could just do on a call on like a Google Meet or something like that. Now we have video of them, right? Individual video of them. Now we can take that individual, put it into a modeler and put that blog and say, we just want them to read the blog as a script.
Yeah.
You can put it in there and AI will actually make a video of them talking the way they talk on a video without them having to do it.
That's fantastic.
So it's all their voice. It's their likeness. It's, you know, all the stuff, but they didn't have to write anything.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Amazing. So are there like, obviously those are the upsides. Are there any downsides to relying too heavily on AI for 100%. SEO with businesses? What do you see there?
It's the replacement of, right? We're going to go full circle on this. If you just say, hey, I write me this, and then, and you just use whatever that is and put it out there, that is being mass produced out there. Another downfall is when people think, okay, well, I'm going to catch up with the big guys and I'm just going to put out an exorbitant amount of content. Google's going to catch on and they're going to be like, no. This is the funny thing. People don't realize SEO is actually not in line with the terms of use for Google. It's an accepted sin as long as you sin a particular way.
Sure.
Right? So as long as your SEO is making their search engine better in their eyes, we're okay. Because we know it's $100 million industry. It's probably more than that. I don't even know what SEO is nowadays, but it's up there, right? Hundreds of millions of dollars are spent on search engine optimization because we know the value of it, right? But if you go in there and just start putting a bunch of crap on there, Google's going to sniff what smells like poop and it's going to flush it to the third and past the 10th page. You'll never be seen. And you can get blackballed from Google. They will silent cancel you if you play a what we call black hat game. Read if you want to know what black hat is, just Google what are black hat practices in search engine optimization. It'll give you all the things that you're not supposed to be doing. And if you're doing a bunch of those things, guess what? You're risking your business's reputation online, visibility online. just to try to shortcut it.
Yeah. So
SEO is not a shortcut.
There's no shortcut.
It is a leverage. It's a leverage of time. It's a leverage of knowledge. So say you don't know how to say something, you can say in your words and then have AI help you word it better. That's okay. Put it in when you like it the way you like it, right? But just to sit there and go, I'm a plumber in Richmond, Virginia, and I want to sell more emergency faucet breakage. I'm just making something up, right? Write me an article on that. That's 500 words. Boom, done. Okay. Now you put it out there and you put it on the website. Now, this is one thing that AI is not doing for you when you do that. It's not optimizing the actual page. It's not doing the meta tags. It's not doing your, it's not optimizing the speed. It's not putting the right pictures in there. It's not doing all the other things that it needs to be useful to a human.
No.
Remember, writing for humans. We make robots happy, but we have to make them usable by humans.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, you just mentioned images. What is your feeling on AI generated images versus non-AI generated images? You know, where do you think that's going to shake out in the mix?
It's going to come out to what you are actually trying to do. Okay. So say you're an interior designer. Okay. AI images aren't going to help you out. People want to know what you do, what you produce, right? So you need to take pictures and videos and all the other things of what you do and use that in your content, right? Now, say you're a fractional marketing person like myself. Okay. I work on strategic high blue ocean ideas. I can use AI to help me illustrate metaphors and analogies. That's okay. That's expected, right?
Right.
So I'm about to do a speaking engagement in Dallas in front of a bunch of marketers about, you know, creating transformational and productized frameworks, right? And one of the analogies is that, hey, listen. And you can use this for any commoditized industry. We're just a car lot, an infinite car lot of yellow Camaros. Each of us really good. We're sports cars. We're performance, right? But when a client comes in and he sees a sea of yellow Camaros, i.e. marketers, right? How do they know which one's the best for them? But what if out of that whole sea, one of them pops up as a transformer by the name of Bumblebee and starts talking a little bit different than all the others because it actually can talk and the other ones can't, right?
Right.
All of a sudden you've made yourself the choice because you don't know why, but that one's different. That one's bigger. It's better. It talks, it talks, it does all the things, right? It's got cool guns. Okay. I'm buying that one, right? That's what your imagery can do for you, right? So if you don't have a physical product, AI is a great tool to help you visualize your blue sky product, right? Concept, air, right? But if you have a physical product, the only thing you'll use AI for is like, if you're in like retail, e-commerce and stuff like that, to jazz up the backgrounds. There's some awesome software out there for that stuff to make your ads look better, make your website look more engaging. But the actual product, that needs to be your product.
So for small businesses that are looking to kind of break out and get a start in SEO, can mm-hmm. you talk a little bit about, you know, what an engagement would look like with your firm and how someone would get started and you know where they would reach out to you?
Oh, I appreciate that. So if you're a micro business, so it's just you, maybe a small handful of people, and you don't have a lot of a big budget for marketing. We have the DIY and DWI or done with you programs at buzzworthy.biz. You just go there and say, I need help with SEO. It's one of the things we do. And then I'll get you and show you everything that Dizio does. And you can just sign up for Dizio. That's great. Or you can get into our done with you program. Dizio itself starts at $79 a month. For the local SEO, and I think it's like $169 for the full SEO package, which gives you all of the tools that you're going to need, your backlinks, your local SEO, your blog writing, your keyword research strategy, all of that stuff is in there. There's like, I want to say 24, right? You get with that, you get a free setup because we actually help people find the right keywords to start with. Because we found if we just leave entrepreneurs to be entrepreneurs, they're going to choose the most difficult keywords to get started.
Yeah, no. So you get people started. A year later, you're
like, well, I'm still not going anywhere. I'm like, okay, let's start with the small wins and work your way up, right? For the done for you, we have a program that we actually go through what we call the SMART report, which is the search marketing audits, reports, and tactics. I'm sorry, it's audits, research, and tactics report, where we actually will take a look at your website, at your industry, where you're at, how you are performing, where you're poised in your market, and whether search marketing would actually be profitable for you. And if you were interested in that, just email me at buzz@buzzworthy.biz, and we'll get you connected with my team to help you out with that.
Perfect. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out to fill our team in and our listeners on everything that you're doing over there. It sounds really exciting and really, really helpful to take that deep dive on SEO, AI, and getting your site ranking. So I appreciate that. And coming up on our next episode, we have Ari Brody. He's the co-founder and CEO of Estatably, a SaaS solution modernizing the trust and estate industry. So a little different take on software as a service. With over a decade of experience, Ari is spearheading Estatably's mission to streamline estate planning and administration through innovative technology. So be sure to visit our website, softwareoasis.com, to access our sign up for our free weekly newsletter and to join us for our webinar tomorrow on leveraging marketing for your business. So be sure to sign up there and register for that free webinar, which is coming up tomorrow, Wednesday at 1:00.